Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast with Lance, Coach, and Randall. Hello and welcome to Youth Hockey Podcast, Episode 7, Post-Caja Weekend Edition. It's very exciting, guys. I just got in from another trip up north, and I got to tell you, it just that place just gets more and more welcoming every time I go. How are you guys doing? Yeah, of course.
Were you fortunate enough to be in the garden spot known as Vacaville?
Oh my God. That place where many a hockey gear has been stolen out of the back of a hatchback and or truck bed. Yes, that beautiful.
Or Vacaville.
By the way, there was a bit of a crisis, and I want to kind of be the first to tell our listeners, there was a crisis that I was part of up in Vacaville. But if I go there, I can't unring that toothpaste. I can't put the toothpaste out of the bell. Randy has no choice.
He's got to ring that bell.
Okay.
I don't know if we should go there.
Raleigh, I believe you are the man. You are the man that has the most sense in this. So I will demur. I will not say anything.
Whoa. Has Randy ever shied away from controversy?
Oh, you're right. I can't start now. I mean, why would that would be off brand. Okay. So I'm going to tell you, and this may offend some people, and it may truly offend some people who have long been listening to this podcast, but I kind of liked Vacaville.
Oh, that's just crazy talk.
I know, but I had such a, I know it was amazing because I've made fun of Vacaville every time I've been there. Right. And every time, but I'm not kidding you. I had some of the best food I've had in months at this little Thai place. If the listeners would like to know, just hit me an email at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. A fantastic Thai restaurant. I mean, not just good, world-class Thai food in a strip mall. Never would have expected it.
Who would have thought?
No, exactly. And then my kid went in and was bought. Every place she went, we found nice people that were helping her, you know, my daughter, at the shopping mall at the, they were so nice to her. I was like, and nice to me. I mean, I do not know what was happening, what's in the water up there in Vacaville, but you pushed me to a place where I have to say I enjoyed my weekend in Vacaville.
Can I ask a few questions, Randy?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. It's a two part. So question one.
Yeah.
Is there a gun to my head?
No, there is not a gun to my head. No, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Mine is, was there a yellow brick road and was there a waitress named Glenda?
No, but there was an ice cream store named Fenton's and there was a See's chocolate shop where the lady was so nice to my daughter and she kept on trying stuff and she just kept on shoveling chocolate across the counter. Nicest lady I've met.
Fenton's is world renowned. Do you know?
I know.
Fenton's?
Well, it's, I don't know. I do now.
You know what it's from, don't you?
Vacaville.
No, it was featured though in Up, the Disney animated movie.
Well, there you
His
go.
His dad See? Always took him to Fenton's.
Okay, then obviously I should have known what a beautiful place Vacaville was. I've been making fun of it for a long time, and now I have to come back, and my words are biting me. They are torturing me now, Raleigh, that I ever upon that lovely place. And it was really nice. We had a
so
good time.
Do you like them better than Bakersfield now?
Oh, no. Number one Bako dad is always going to be that's Kevin. And that's a shout out to you, number one Bako dad. No one's going to replace you in my heart. No, I can't. They can't. Bako was with us for 3 years when we played. Bako showed up when we needed them to show up. Vacaville. Yeah, they fed me. They were nice. But no, Bako is always in my heart. And also, I'm a little afraid that if I go up to Bako and you say anything bad about Bako, you're not walking home. You know, you're in trouble. I've been there before. So I want to be in well with Bako. Bako, we love you.
Awesome.
Very bold statement.
Well, you're right. I kind of did undercut my credibility there, but it is a real Baco story. So, and it's we really have love for Baco. So,
well, I was also going to say, you know, to be fair, we've all been talking about that story about the bag that was stolen out of the back of a
pickup
car. You know, granted, it happened 5 years ago. It's a little bit coming like Philly with the. You know, with the Santa Claus back in the 60s, I believe it was.
Where you're never going to get past booing Santa Claus. Anytime a culture boos Santa Claus, they're on the hook forever.
Well,
you're right.
They pelted him with snowballs.
I thought they just booed him. No.
But he was, to be fair, he was drunk.
Drunken Santa.
So I feel like, you know, Baskervilles kind of got the Philly treatment. It's like one thing happened one time a long time ago, and we'll never let them forget it.
Well, they make us go up there, too. I mean, Tier 2, you've got to feel me right now. Anyone that's in Tier 2 in hockey this year in California, that's our third trip up north. And, you know, I think at the end of the season, if our team is lucky enough to stay in Tier 2, we will have to go there 17 times. I believe that was what the schedule says. 17 visits. Yeah, I know.
It's like a weekly trip for you.
We just stay there, basically. And that's what they want. Right. And that's just kind of silly. What's silly about it is they're costing a lot of money, either pulling a lot of money out of the pockets of people that I don't believe all have it. Because, you know, things are not like easy street right now for everyone. And I'm not breaking any new ground with that. It's just, you know, there are times that get a little tougher. And I think people are feeling the squeeze a little bit. And for Caja to basically, you know, send up every parent from Southern California on a $1,000 mission, three times so far, and probably more, that's an abdication of duty.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. I mean, that's the whole point of Tier 2, or one of the points is it's not supposed to have the travel of AAA. Yet here you are.
Yeah. Well, and again, we're not going to complain about Caja right now because I'm brewing something for Caja, and I think Lance knows what it is. I've got a great idea about how to get Caja to be more responsive to the average hockey player's parents in California. I'm brewing it up now. It won't be like in the next episode or two, but eventually I have this. We're ready. Lance knows it. We've got a plan. And that plan will almost certainly not work, but we'll try it anyway. So
over as big as the funding me to put together a championship team.
That championship team is still on the back burner, Lance. Also, I believe Santa Claus in Philadelphia will go over that well. Lance, today you wanted to talk about you want to be a little sensitive this episode. You want to help the coaches help themselves. And this is how big your heart is, Lance. You're not there to just criticize. You're there to educate. And so, Lance, take it away.
Okay. So, like you said, I mean, you know, we focus a lot on the parents and trying to relay our experiences to them. I wanted to talk with the coaches and relay some of our experiences. So, a couple of ground rules for you guys is the fact that this is really truly targeted at the under 13. You know, 13 years old, you're a bantam, you're checking, you're playing what I would consider like real hockey. So this isn't for these guys. This is for the young kids. And if you know me at all, you know that I feel no matter what league you're in, no matter what level, below that bantam U13 level, it's all about development, you know. And I think, and you know, and I've talked to and read articles from the D1 coaches, NHL coaches, and they would tell you that at those age groups, it should be like 99.99999% about developing and 0.000001 about winning games. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. So that's the main thing. So I scoured our hockey universe and asked people to give me any thoughts, questions, comments that they have for the coaches to help them understand like our perspective on things. And even my own lovely wife inserted a few comments that she wanted to ask the coaches. So
just give the listeners a benefit of your process. How long did you scour?
At least minutes.
I was saying that because I know Lance Alexander. He is a thorough person. I am guessing this took him quite a long time. You are not a person to just, you know, to just say you do something and then give it half effort. Yeah.
You're right. You know me too well, because I started this process in 2009 and doing my research, and it culminates to today where I'm ready to share.
That's what I expected from Lance Alexander. Thank you.
Okay. So number one for coaches, if you're coaching kids that are about 6, 7, 8 years old, I ask that you go sit in the parking lot before practices and just kind of observe the dynamic that goes on out there. And if you notice that half your team is being dragged from the car, kicking, screaming, and crying because they don't want to go in the building for practice, then I think it's time you might want to rethink how you approach the game and your practices. Any thoughts, Randy, Dave, on that first one?
I'd say you're throwing down the gauntlet.
Exactly. I think I know who was kicking and screaming and who was not looking above, you know, looking out for the kids that you're talking about. But this was a long time ago.
This was a long time ago.
Just so I know, Dave, if I'm on the right. Yeah, if I'm on the right track, was this man, and dare I say it, Russian?
Yeah, of course. Come on, Randy.
There we go. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. This. Yeah, I do.
And I'm telling you, Coach, this guy, he ran practices that I think would be difficult for college-age kids. And he would have kids crying because they didn't want to go. And I felt like, okay, that's a red flag. Also for the parents. Parents, if you're playing in a team where your kid's crying because he doesn't want to go to practice, you know, take note of that.
Right?
Now here,
well, I don't know. Also, if they're playing in KHS, just going in that building could make you cry. So, I mean, in a way, you have to check out where you're going to practice. If you're going in a practice of a regular rink, non-KHS related, I think that means that's a bad sign. But if it's in the, what's that one out in, like, there's that awful one out in
Riverside?
Yeah, close to Riverside. It's like a chalet of something.
People
are going to cry going into those. They probably just have good taste, you know?
Right. When you got, you've got to make it appropriate for the age too.
Right.
I mean, that basically what you're talking about there is a guy who's like coaching a bunch of 10-year-olds, like they're 18, 19-year-olds. That doesn't work. You got to consider the audience, the attention span.
All right. So number two is, okay. So I get the concept of shorting the bench. Of course, for me, again, under the Bantam division age, I don't think it's appropriate because it should be purely about development. But the question that was posed to me was, coaches, it's preseason and you're shorting the bench, really? I mean, wouldn't that be the one time that you would let everyone play? Because the game means nothing unless you think that there's a D1 scout up there looking for coaches at the might and squirt level. And I'll tell you, that happens, at least for me, that's happened more than it's not. That the coaches that we've experienced, they want to win. They want to win at all costs. And even if it's preseason, they're going to short their bench. Have you guys ever had that experience?
Coach,
preseason shorting. I don't know if I've seen it in preseason, but I've seen it in the first, you know, 5 games of the season. So
yeah, I did see it in a tournament that my daughter played in. Like, we were down 8-0, and the coach, oh my god, this guy was a genius. This coach was like, he was coaching so hard. He was not going to let us lose by more than 9-0. And so he was passing over the third line. That was some heavy duty lifting in the gray area. But yeah, no, I did see that. That's the worst I've seen. In the preseason, I have not seen it. I've not seen people get really shafted. But I will say, when you're winning, like my kids' team was up by like 9 today. And I wish they would have given the third line more time. People are all like, because like, you know, my daughter gets off the ice and she wanted to score more, right? And I was like, you know, in a way, if you're up by that, why not put on the, you know, the third line and give them some time to kind of coalesce and get and work together? I mean, that would be my thing. I have seen that. And well, I really like it when I see that.
You hit number three, because number three is, okay, our team is up by 15 goals. And I experienced this firsthand. We're up by 15 goals. There's 5 minutes left. Why is our first line out there?
No, that I will tell you, I really respect it when a coach, and I'm not saying that the coach has to do it this way, because I don't coach like that. I mean, Dave, you've coached. I'll defer to you. But I'm saying I really respect it when I see a coach bench the first line when they're up by five or six, because, you know, especially if it's a game that really looks like it's out of reach, you know, let the other kids play, give them some time to develop, because you're going to need that first line. It seems like you need your first line all the time. So don't worry about shorting them.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of coaches, they look at it as the first line's getting bare minimum. If you get, let's say you've got three lines, bare minimum, the first line's getting a third of the time. That's the least they're going to get. So it doesn't matter what the score is. They're getting their regular shift. Now, if need be, then they may get 40%, 50%, 60%. That seems to be the modus operandi for most coaches, but you know, I get it. I mean, I guess you can make the argument that, well, if the team's up, why should you, you know, why should you say to certain kids, well, you're not playing anymore because we're up. So, you know, I guess I kind of understand that. It's just that.
And so do I, coach. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's sometimes I feel good for the kids that get a little extra time in those games. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There. Well,
that I feel bad for, you know, I don't feel bad if the other kids play. I really don't.
I think there's a lot of coaches that don't really bank time. They don't look at it as, hey, I just, you know, I just didn't put that line out at all because we had a couple power plays and a couple penalty kills and whatever. And they don't, I think a lot of coaches just don't even think about nor realize sometimes if it's a third or fourth line that they didn't get to play very much, if at all. And then they get up and it's like, you're thinking, okay, well, now's the time when maybe the third or fourth line gets a little more time, and they don't. And you just go, okay. So it sure is good not to be in that situation, right? So that's the other part of it. If your kid's not on one of those lines, then you're like, oh, well.
Lance, you just unmuted to cough. Did you notice that you just did that? You hit the unmute button so that you could cough on air.
I didn't realize I was muted.
It's like the opposite of the cough button.
It was amazing. I'm watching the screen and Lance's mute button goes off and he goes, like, oh man.
He wanted
We are good at our jobs, guys. We are good. I understand.
Because are riveted to everything that comes out of my mouth. Right?
Well, it's good to hear, Lance. I found it to be a startling and lovely development in the podcast. Lance is like, they got to hear me cough. Do you have another one, man?
Oh, here's another one for you. And then I'll give you my lovely wife's input.
Sounds great.
But the coach may not like this one. He might be sensitive to this, but the coach that likes to use the coaches that like to bring in and I'll use air quotes, parent helpers, and then fast forward into the season, and all of a sudden the parent helpers are making decisions on the bench because the coach is too busy focusing on something else. Have you guys ever experienced that one?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I guess it depends. If you have, technically speaking, there's no such thing as a parent helper in hockey. Like if you're on the bench, you have to be a coach. You have to be, you know, if we're talking USA Hockey, you have to be an accredited coach who's, you know, passed the age modules relevant for whatever age group you're coaching, and you have to have done the safe sport and all that jazz, had a background check.
And what level coach are you, coach? Just so we can put out your bona fides.
I am a level 3 coach, I believe.
Okay.
I'm trying to recall. Yeah, I think I don't want to misstate this.
I'm sure the background check was the hardest thing for you to pass, personally.
Yeah.
You know, that public that urination
long
back
stretch that I did.
I was thinking public urination back in Philly. You know, you can't. You know, you just that's a no-no, coach.
You know, listen, sometimes you just have to, you know, relieve yourself. It doesn't, you know,
I understand.
Call of the wild.
And this is another thing you should know about coach. I've seen him on the bench. I've seen Coach Ralston on the bench. He is one of the very few people I've ever seen that is extraordinarily fair and does not give his kid, any more. I mean, he stayed away from having to do that, by the way. But you were excellent at not putting yourself in a position where you'd be questioned, I thought, coach.
I think it's easy to do, too. I mean, in general, look, if your kid's a forward and you're going to be an assistant coach, don't be, in charge of the forwards' ice time. That's how I always ended up doing it. I was coaching defense. And yet I know plenty of people where it's a dad coach and, you know, dad assistant coach, and somehow they're in charge of the ice time of their own kid. And even if you're the most egalitarian person in the world, it's going to lead to some resentment. And I definitely heard from people that they assumed that, my kid was getting some extra time or getting stuff that he wasn't entitled to. And you know, even though I had nothing to do with his ice time. Now, did in certain circumstances, did maybe the coach have a relationship with me where we were friendly and maybe looked nicely upon my kid? I mean, it's possible, but I know for me at the time, I was just like, look, I don't want to be in that situation. And yet there's plenty of situations where I've been on teams where there was a parent coach and they were in charge of the ice time.
Well, I thought you struck a very good balance. I mean, obviously we're friends and things like that, but that was always something I respected about what you did, which was that you struck, you know, like you said, if there was something there, it was very tenuous as far as, you know, quid pro quo. It always seemed like you were just doing your job and you left the coach to coach it.
The other thing is that I'm going to guess here, there might be some people who have listened to us who have younger kids, and maybe there's a person here or there who's, you know, played some hockey and thinking, hey, you know, I'll coach my kid. Let me just tell you, if you are coaching your own kid and you say, you know, you're trying to coach them on the ice, your kid, their experience of what you might be trying to coach them on and instruct them upon is going to be taken very differently than another kid. You could say something, completely even-handed to a kid that is not your child and be able to get that message through and have that kid see that in a positive way. Whereas if you try and deliver that same message to your kid, there's a really good chance that they're going to take that really the wrong way because they don't want to, they can't separate the parent from the coach. And so
this young Bobby is not going to take the "you didn't pinch at the right time" kind of comment from dad as well as he would from the coach.
And I will just, I'll warn everybody, if you're thinking about doing it, let me just tell you, that's, you may regret it. Cause I look back upon that experience and, my kid gets enough of that and has got enough of that for me, just like at the house or, you know, us out playing some street hockey or me helping, you know, go on a stick time and we're playing some stick time hockey. He got plenty of that. I don't think that it was a net positive for him Other than maybe he'll look back upon it and say, yeah, you know, I remember.
Yeah, you were there for him a lot. You know,
that's my dad was there. Thing. Yeah, we spent plenty of time. But I mean, I think you can spend that time with your kid anyway, just through the sport of hockey, taking him to the practices, being there to watch him and everything without being on the ice. So I'm not saying it, don't do it. I'm just saying it is a trap, and your kid, a lot of kids, it's not just me saying this. I've heard this from plenty of other people too, that, that your kid will take it very likely in a different way than another kid will. So that's my two cents on that.
You know, what's funny is I'm not even a coach and I experienced that, you know. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've told my sons, like, look, I've been around the block. You're going down this path. If you need to do this, not that. And, you know, they know what's best. They know better than dad. And then sure enough, you know, they come back and like, I should have done it your way.
I've told Coach Ralston 1,000 times, you know what the stupidest thing you've ever said to your teenage boy is, right?
What?
The next thing out of your mouth. It doesn't matter what it is. The stupidest thing. The next thing out of your mouth is the stupidest thing he's ever heard. You can look at his face. It confirms it every time. Like, oh my God, I can't believe he's that dumb. And you're like, well, son, maybe the man who has been there for you is not that stupid. And then they look at you like, no, he is. So I was like, okay. Luckily, I think they, there's a famous quote of, Mark Twain quote about it. I'll have it for you next podcast. It's one of my favorites, but
you're gonna make us wait.
Oh yeah, no, I don't know it off the top of my head, but it's, you know, it's a great one about old people, and fathers and sons. So anyway, is there any more, Lance, or are we running dry? Okay,
last one contributed by my lovely wife, which was, she had the question of, when it comes to the youth and the younger ages, why coaches, why are there so many of you who are unapproachable or make it awkward to just have a simple conversation with? And, you know, I've had both. You know, I've had coaches who I was actually afraid to ask a question to, and I've had others who, you know, wanted to come out and have beers with everybody.
Right. It's hard to tell.
But yeah, Dave, do you remember in your early days, were there any coaches you got chummy with?
Well, in my early days when I was coaching, then, you know, it was more of like, well, we're sort of, you know, a friendly peer level. So, yeah, but then it definitely can progress into that situation where you're walking around on eggshells, concerned that you're, you know, you might say the wrong thing or, you know, offend the coach, and that's going to affect your kid. So it's hard to read. You really can't tell. You don't know what, you know, what you might say that gets interpreted in a particular way. So a lot of people definitely take the approach of, I'm just going to stay away from this. And sometimes the coaches, yeah, they'd rather have you come and talk to them. I will say that in a lot of places there's you know, there's a cool down rule in place. I think that is probably pretty good, you know. But most coaches, I think, establish like, yes, you know, there's something on your mind. Let's talk about it. It's just not going to be something that you will talk about like the same day that we just had a game and you know, the game's just over and you saw something that sent you into another stratosphere and you know, you're just livid or whatever. They don't want to talk to you that.
There were some livid people at Caja this weekend. I can tell you that. I walked around and you see some of the people. They're just so angry. Some of them, one of them was angry at his own kid. You could just, he was so mad at him. And I was like, oh, that poor dude. If we can bleed the anger out of this sport, we have done. If anybody out there listening to what we have to say, if we can bleed the anger out of this sport, we've done something amazing for the kids playing it. Because I did see, and there was a coach that got really angry at the kids. It was like in one of the games, and I don't blame him, by the way. I don't know if that's his thing, but I can tell you it makes me uncomfortable. I don't get along with people very well. And so my rule of talking to the coaches is usually like, just try to keep it light and breezy, because it doesn't, you know, there isn't that much I have to say to a coach. I'm not the coach, you know, I don't make the decisions. But I do understand that when they're young, and what Lance is talking about, it might feel a lot better if you feel like your kids are in the hands of somebody that you really think is a decent, you know, kind, generous human being. I have the luck this year of feeling that way about my coach, my child's coach, in both of their positions, actually all three. It's great. But I don't talk to them about it. I don't know what I would say to them. And like I said, it's not quite as young as what you're saying either, Lance. So I might be missing the mark a little.
But, you know, I have the solution, right, Randy? If you have a coach that you're nervous to approach, or they feel unapproachable.
Yeah.
Buy them a snowboard.
$1,000 snowboard. Oh, oh man, that's also next the next episode. We're going to be talking about things that the coaches my topic is about things that the coaches really appreciated from their from parents. I'm taking the other side of this, like a time when the coach is really felt like he's something really nice was either said to him or done for him. So that's next episode. So that's my topic for next episode.
Awesome.
I did want to say before we conclude, Dave, do you want to do the game at the end of this one?
Yeah. I've got plenty of these.
We can do this. We'll do that to wrap it up. But I wanted to thank the listeners. We are now up, I think, 25% month to month. I know you're all headed into hockey tournaments and all those things, and we really appreciate you carrying us along with you. We hope to entertain. We never hope to make you feel bad about the sport, your kids, your coaches, or your lives. I think there's enough out there in our lives that pushes down on everyone enough. So we're here to hopefully be uplifting. I also wanted to just announce to you guys, we've cracked the top 100 list in South Korea.
Nice.
Wow.
I know. I had no idea. I was looking at, because we cracked the top 100 podcasts in America. And I had no idea that we were that big in South Korea. And so I just want to thank all of our new South Korean fans, because I'm guessing there's not a lot of hockey there. But man, I mean,
there's a good amount of hockey there. I want to say,
yeah, like, you gave us this.
South Korea is just they bubble just below the level of the more established European countries. But there's a lot of good hockey.
2022 is their year, baby. That's what, now I'm on the South.
Well, I'm
Korean
not sure they have enough to get there, but
no, they're getting there. That the youth been, hockey podcast is make no. Youth Hockey Podcast is making an ironclad lock prediction, South Korea 2022.
Okay. Well, nope. That's a bold statement. But I also want to say that
they gave us Alex Kim. We like Alex Kim an awful lot
in the SoCal area. There's a lot of really good Korean coaches in SoCal and a lot of really good kids that have a Korean background, and it's something that
that's why I'm predicting it. I just see it happening
for SoCal.
Dave. I just really do. I see it's happening.
Yeah.
Please get into your wrap it up, and we will get episode 7 out with a bang.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna do a little game. Maybe a few of these coming up. So so let's do it this way. We'll do three rounds. I'll give you guys one at a time a piece of hockey lingo, and you try and define what it means. So, Lance, you want to go first?
I'm smoking you, Randy.
Okay. Do you want me to listen? Do you want me to?
No. Basically, why don't we do it this way? If the one guy gets it wrong, then the other guy can steal.
Okay. There we go.
All right. So Lance, first one for you, Bucky.
What was the word?
Bucky. What is a Bucky?
That's when you owe the goalie a dollar, a bucky.
All right, that's incorrect. Now, Randy, do you want to try and steal?
I would like to try to steal. I believe, yes, and I'm almost certain of this, that is a dollar in a Canadian strip club. A bucky, right?
He made it rain with
buckies, right? Yeah, yeah.
You guys, oh my god, this game is not going all the way. No,
you picked the wrong audience.
Bucky is also known as a bucket. It's the hockey helmet that the kids wear.
Oh, I should have known that.
Bucket, yeah, it does.
All right, perfect sense. It's 0-0 tie. All right, round two. Randy, I'll hit you with this one.
Thank you.
A clapper.
A clapper would be a slap shot.
Yes.
You gave him an easy one.
Well, Bucky was easy too.
One for you. All right. Okay, Lance. Gordie Howe hat trick. Please define.
Ah, beautiful. That's when you have a goal, assist, and a fight in one game.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, okay. That was a good. That was an easy one.
One and one. Well, you know.
No, it's good. It's good. We're all happy.
All right. So let's go back to you, Lance.
Why don't I get the first
one? I think it's Randy next.
Okay. Yeah, we could do it that way. All right. I'm trying to shut me down. No, I'm trying to keep it even because I started with Lance, then I went to you. But okay.
Then you just went to Lance with the Gordie Howe hat trick.
Well, isn't that because you tried to steal? Well,
No, okay. I didn't.
I stand corrected. I want to. Hoyle. I do not want to hear from them. So Randy, let's go to
this
you.
This is when people at home realize we're all about 100 years old. Go ahead.
An apple.
An apple would be a device upon which your youngest daughter plays all through the weekend. And when it runs out of power, she screams at you and doesn't understand how it can't get recharged through your Hyundai battery.
That's very good, but in the context of hockey, no.
Oh, damn it. Oh.
Lance, can you steal this one?
I think I might know this one.
Yes.
Is it a shutout?
Oh my goodness. We have work to do, boys.
An apple, it's a zero.
An apple is an assist. My gosh, guys.
Oh.
An apple. Yeah,
right.
It's when your kid comes back. He's like, Dad, I had a couple of apples there.
Oh, that's nice.
All right. So we're still at 1-1.
1-1. Okay. Let's just say next point wins.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Randy.
Yeah.
You know, just to show my age, but when I was growing up, you never talked about the old clappers.
No, certainly not. That's not right.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Just for fun, can we do a variation on the clapper? Either one of you. There's another similar phrase that basically means the same thing that the kids will throw out there.
Go ahead, Randy. I'll let you take that one.
I would have to say slapperoo.
it's called the clap bomb.
Oh, damn it!
That's like a clapper.
Right. I think Slapperoo was a good one.
You
too,
got go one ahead. More, Dave. We got to break the tie.
Yeah. Okay. Who deserves?
Let Lance have it first. Let Lance have it first. I got the Slapperoo.
All right, Lance, a duster.
Oh, is that when you deke someone?
Can I steal?
There's a variation on that, but I can't give you credit for it. No. Okay.
Randy's up.
Randy, you think you got this?
I think that is where a puck goes along the ice and doesn't actually fly. That's a duster.
Should we just keep going?
No.
You guys can get one?
Okay, go ahead.
What is a duster? No, a duster is somebody who is just bad at hockey. They're not very good.
That's a bender.
They're a duster. Well, it's okay. A duster can be a bender.
Okay.
But a duster in general doesn't, they're not good. They don't get on the ice. That's a duster.
Or you know, a feather duster, would that be an extremely light version of a duster, like a really small, bad hockey player?
Maybe.
There we go.
If you're under 50, it's a bender. Yeah. If you're over 50, it's a duster.
Oh, okay. That's why David is okay.
All right.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
I think I hope you can get this one.
Okay.
Flow.
A what?
Flow.
Flow. That would be your hair.
Exactly. That is correct.
And by the way, your son has terrific flow. I mean, he always has.
He's got
the curls. He's got terrific flow.
Like a, I don't know what he's got going on.
I still want to see the stash. If you can put up a mustache, the mustache shot of your son at Youth Hockey Podcast for one of the, I tell you what, anyone who would like to see Coach Ralston's son rocking a mustache and a serious flow, please email us at
youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. I've heard rumor.
We'll get it. We'll find it. It's got to be out there.
That at
anyway,
16, he's told me he's got
the stash.
Got a stash going.
Oh, it's
going
to be good. Oh, it's going to be so
good. Does
that mean
Randy won?
Just by a little bit.
I mean, for this,
we both lost.
Yeah, because we gotta wrap it up, I think, for this episode. But we got more coming.
Yeah,
you can come back. By the way, okay, just for fun, there's another term in hockey that's also used for flow. Can you come up with another slang term that the hockey players like to use for their hair?
Lance?
Locks?
It's actually either salad or lettuce. You'll hear lettuce.
Haven't heard that one. No, that's good.
All right, well, we're educating.
Thank you all for watching me and Lance stumble through basic hockey terminology and Coach Ralston laugh at us all the way through it. We'll return next week with episode 8, where hopefully we'll have really educated ourselves and gotten much better at this, what we would call hockey terminology class that David's putting on for all of us. We really thank you all, and you guys have been great. We've been getting listeners and emails. Anything you want to know, anything you want discussed on the show, please email us at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Little teaser, I'm going to talk about another crisis at the Kaha at the beginning of next episode. Thanks for listening.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.